Welcome to the Bible Insights podcast. I'm Val Waldeck, an author and Bible teacher from South Africa. And in this series on the book of Revelation, we are taking a bird's eye view of the book, concentrating on signposts which will help us to understand its message. This is our second study, and we'll be working from chapter 1, verse 8 onwards to the end of the chapter. Revelation is written in three stages, according to John chapter 1, verse 19. John is told to write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The things which you have seen refer to his revelation of Jesus Christ, and the things which are refers to the church age, which started on the day of Pentecost, and the things which will take place after this refers to events after the rapture of the church. He began his book by telling us that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is all about Jesus Christ, who he is, what his plans for this world are, and about his return. And so John goes on to share what he has seen. The question is, who is Jesus Christ? There are various opinions. Some say that he was a teacher. Others say he was a prophet. Some say he was a good man. Others say he was nobody special. Some people even go as far as to say he didn't exist at all. But history is very clear that he did exist. And every time you look at your calendar, you know that Jesus Christ came, because the calendar dates back to the time when Jesus Christ came to this earth the first time. A careful study of the New Testament makes it quite clear that he claimed to be God. He said, "Before Abram was, I am." People understood him at that time, and many times they wanted to stone him because he claimed to be God. And either he was who he claimed to be, or else he was a fraud and a liar, a deluded man and not a good man at all. Or otherwise, he was exactly who he claimed to be. About 800 years before his first coming to this world, Isaiah wrote about him. This is what he said, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." John has this incredible vision of Jesus. He's no longer the bearded, sandaled Jesus that John walked with in those first years when they ministered together. But he sees the glorified resurrection Lord. Some people have this vision of Jesus as being a very good-looking, happy, handsome man in heaven. But Jesus has a resurrection body. And John looks at Jesus Christ, and he tries to explain the supernatural Son of God. John chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord introduces himself. He says, "John, I am the Alpha and the Omega." In other words, I'm the beginning of all things and I'm the end of all things. He says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," says the Lord, "the one who is, he's eternally existent, the one who was, he came to earth and left again, and he's coming back again, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come, the Almighty." He was very clear about who he is. John tells us in verses 9 to 11 of chapter 1, he says, "I, John, am both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." He tells us that he was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was there because of the word of God and his testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, he was being persecuted because of his testimony that Jesus Christ is God. We know that in the first 300 years of church history, the church was banned and Christians were very, very viciously persecuted. But on the Lord's Day, he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." And he says, "Suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." And then the Lord spoke to John and he said, "John, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." And we'll have a look at those churches in future studies. But he says very clearly, "I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. There's no one before me and no one after me. He is the eternal Son of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God." Jesus Christ is God indeed. The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. And yet they are one God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are indeed one God. We can't understand the nature and being of God, and we only have to believe what he tells us. And so John sees this amazing vision of the resurrected Christ. And we're going to discover seven beautiful, magnificent truths about him in these few verses. The first thing that we see is that he is God, the supreme ruler over all things. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. That's chapter 1, verses 46. We see that the entire Trinity is there. The first thing we learn is that he is God, the supreme ruler over all. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, he's called the ruler over the kings of the earth. And we read in Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11, that every ruler will one day bow the knee, every human being, in fact, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is definitely and absolutely God. The second thing we learn about him, not only is he God, totally 100% God, but he is the Lord of the church. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. No man is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. John said, I heard this voice behind me saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And then he said, what you see, John, write in this book and send it to the seven churches. Because the Lord of the church has something very relevant to say to the churches. You see, he's the only way to the Father. Jesus said that, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. There are many people who believe about Jesus, but believing with your head isn't enough. You have to believe with your heart. And those who receive him have the right to become and be called the children of God. And it's all about him. John said, when I heard that voice, verses 12 and 13, he said, when I heard that voice that spoke with me, I turned and I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands was one like the Son of Man. We are told by John that in verse 20, that the seven lampstands represent the churches. The seven lampstands represent the church of Jesus Christ throughout church history. So he's the head of the church. He's Almighty God, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He is the Lord of all. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of the church. The thing we recognize about him from the scripture is that he's glorious. John looks at him and he says, I'm seeing these seven lampstands representing the church of Jesus Christ. And one like the Son of Man, right there standing amidst the candlesticks. We know the seven candlesticks represent the church. Who's the Son of Man? And John begins to describe him. He said he was clothed with a garment down to his feet, verses 12 to 16 of Revelation 1. He was girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine bronze, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, which John later identifies as the leadership of the church, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, which the Bible identifies as the Word of God. When I saw his face, John said, it was like the sun shining in all of its strength. We've seen a description very similar to that in the book of Daniel. Daniel wrote about him in the 6th century before Christ. And he said, I saw the Ancient of Days seated. What did he look like, Daniel? Daniel chapter 7 verse 9, he describes him. He said his garment was as white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool, the throne was a fiery flame. He describes the Ancient of Days, which we know to be God Almighty. And now John sees Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, standing before him. And he describes him with exactly the same words. At the end times, Daniel and John tell us that the judge of all the earth will be seated on the great white throne at the final judgment. And John tells us in his book, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 22, that the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. this glorious, powerful, almighty God is standing before John and he sees him and he's absolutely amazed at what he sees. The Lord of the church is passionate about his church. John talks about the fact that his voice was like the sound of many waters, powerful and strong. His voice, as he speaks to John, is as the sound of many waters. It's passionate and it's strong. And then we notice something very interesting about the Lord. He's concerned about the church and particularly about the leadership of the church. Because where the leadership goes, the church goes. Very often churches look very much like their pastors because what the pastor teaches them and they believe is how they behave. And Jesus is very concerned about the church and its leadership. And we read in verse 12 to 16 that he had in his right hand 7 stars. He was holding 7 stars in his right hand. What are these stars? In verse 20, the Lord tells him, John, the mystery of the 7 stars which you saw and the 7 golden lampstands is this. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. The word angel in the original Greek means messenger. So John is told to write down what he's seen and send it to the messengers of 7 particular churches who are looking after the lampstand which represents the church of Jesus Christ. The Lord has an operating manual for his church. You know, as people, we don't often take too much notice of operating manuals. In fact, it's a joke when we say, when all else fails, read the instructions. But the Lord has an operating manual for his church. And John writes about it in verses 12 to 16. He says, out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. The very words that Jesus taught and spoke were captured in the book called the Bible. And it's a sharp, two-edged sword according to the scriptures. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, Old Testament, New Testament. There are some Christians who don't believe the Old Testament is relevant anymore. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, Timothy tells us, is profitable for doctrine. If you want to know what you believe, check the scriptures. It's profitable for reproof. If you want to know how to behave, read the scriptures. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you want to know how to live righteously the way God wants you to live, read the scriptures. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Holy Spirit inspired that book, and we need the Holy Spirit to interpret the book for us. And that's what Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, to put on the whole armor of God, to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you start to read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God and look at the Word of God and see everything through the prism of the Word of God, that Word of God is so powerful that it can discern what you're thinking and what you're feeling in your heart. And then the 7th thing we learn about the Lord and the church is that the Lord of the church is in relationship with his church. Jesus said, you must be born again. He told Nicodemus, a very religious man. He said, Nicodemus, all your religion isn't going to help you. Unless a man is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Never mind, go there. So many people visit and attend churches, and because they're Christianized and they don't belong to some other faith, they believe they're going to heaven. But the Lord said that narrow is the way and few find it. And broad is the way and many go that way. We have to be born again. And John said when he saw this magnificent, glorious Lord, the resurrected Christ, he fell at his feet as dead. And I love what he writes now in verses 17 to 20. He said, the Lord laid his right hand on me. That means Jesus must have bent down. He always does that. He comes to where we are and doesn't expect us to go to where he is. He always meets us at our point of need. Take courage from this today. Jesus laid his right hand on me, says John, saying to me, don't be afraid. John, I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm he who lives, I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And he says this, and behold, I have the keys of Hades and of death. Hades is the place of departed spirits where the unsaved are waiting for the day of judgment. Death is the grave where the bodies are. The Lord says, I have the keys of Hades and of death. Some people believe that Jesus, when he died, went into hell and snatched the keys from the devil. The Lord has never lost control of the keys. He's got the keys. And he says when people come and when they go in this life. The Lord speaks to him and says, John, write the things which you've seen, the things which are the vision that you've had of me, so that the world may know who Jesus Christ is, the things that will take place after this, the church age, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels or the messengers of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. He's the one who walks among the seven lampstands. He's with his church. He promised never to leave or forsake us. He's with us. We two or three are gathered in his name. He's right there in the midst of his church. When we read this chapter and we listen to teaching on this chapter, ask yourself these questions. When people meet me, can they see Jesus? Do they sense his glory? Do I still have that mindset of Jesus the man with a beard and the sandals walking in the dust of Galilee? Or do I see him as the glorified, resurrected Lord? What is my personal devotional life like? Am I in regular fellowship with Jesus, this Lord who's in relationship with his church, who walks among the candlesticks? Am I in relationship with his church? Am I passionate about him? Am I passionate about his word, which is a sharp, two-edged sword? When I argue with people, do I use human philosophy and human words? Or I take the sword of the Spirit and use the powerful word of God. And finally, is he the sovereign Lord of my life? Is Jesus Christ the sovereign Lord of my life? This book of Revelation is all about Jesus, his first coming, his resurrection and ascension, and then about his second coming, his return to this earth. The book of Revelation begins and ends with a prediction of the Lord's second coming. Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back again. Are we totally dedicated to him? Jesus says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. What is your reaction to that today? Are you saying, amen? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Or are you saying, Lord, don't come yet. I'm not ready. There's some people I have to forgive. There's some things I've got to put right. Folks, put right what you have to put right. Forgive those you have to forgive. This wonderful resurrected Christ that John saw in that amazing vision that he records in the first chapter of his book, he's the one who's coming back, and we will meet him in the clouds. We're going to see Jesus, the glorified Christ. Be encouraged, be strengthened, and look forward to the return of Jesus. Next study, we'll be looking at the seven churches and what God has to say to individual churches and to individual Christians. God bless you. Until next time.